Get your Bibles out, if you will. I'm going to say this, but you know how untruthful preachers can be. I don't think the sermon's going to be real long. I promised my family I was going to come in and I was going to go straight home after my afternoon. And so, folks, I don't think this sermon's going to be real long, okay? So Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 1. And once you find that verse, would you please stand with me? Proverbs chapter 22, starting with verse number 1. I'm going to read the first four verses, and then I'm just going to teach you some real practical things about this thought of money. If you were here this morning, I told everybody the sermon's title tonight is this: A Good Name Over Riches. A Good Name Over Riches. Proverbs 22, verse number 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, do something in our midst this evening. God, take the teaching and make us better because of it. And Lord, we know that your name is a good name. Help us that our names would be good names for your sake, because we're part of your family. And so our names might be better if we handle our finances properly. Holy Spirit of God, speak through me, speak to us tonight. Help my mind to be strong. And Lord, again, we just want you to bless the preaching your way this evening, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. A good name over riches. If you were listening there, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1 is where the sermon comes from this evening. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." It's telling us there, the very first part of that verse is saying, having a little money with a godly, honest reputation is better than having great riches. And some of you would say, "Oh, Pastor, that's obvious." You know, that's not obvious to everybody. And even if it's obvious, it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of it. So, having a little money with a godly, honest reputation is better than having great riches. Now, what's being taught there, the assumption is there's a comparison here of having great riches without having a good name. And that's not what we want. Now, when you go to the second part of the verse, it says, "and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And what that's telling us is being known for being a loving and a good person, having a favorable attitude and reputation, should be chosen over gold and silver. Again, the assumption or the opposite is that you chose gold and silver and you're not a loving person and you are not favorable in your transactions and the way you handle yourself. We're told by the media that the finances of our country are picking up, and probably that's so. I could not analyze all the reasons why, and we're not even going to attempt to do so. But that doesn't mean that just because the finances seemingly in the nation are picking up doesn't mean that it's going well for everybody. I know some people right now that would struggle financially, and so things are tight for some right now. Let me tell you this, though. Now, don't panic. Let me tell you something about money. You know God's still alive? And never forget this, there is an economy in our country, but there's also a heavenly economy. And we get kind of caught up in the economy in our country, and we do need to keep an eye on what's happening out there. But don't ever forget that God's alive, and He's our God, and God knows how to get us through difficult times. You know, others have seen tough times and they survived them. Some of you that are going through maybe a financial tough time right now, maybe you've seen a financial tough time in the past and God figured out a way for you to make it through. And He will again. God wants us to be wise with what He gives us, the money He gives us. Safe and financial practices, really, though, should be lived both during what we would call good and bad economic times. Tell you what happens when it's going real, real well, sometimes people throw common sense to the wind because they say, you know, we've got everything we need. We've got so much. I'm not going to worry about my finances and being wise about it. Well, it shouldn't be that the only time we're trying to be wise financially is when it's going tough. So you all know, if it's going good today, it might not be going so good tomorrow. And if it's going bad today, it might be going better tomorrow. But I think the principles of God were intended to be lived during good times and during bad times. We tend to run to some of them during the bad time. And maybe had we been living them during the good time, maybe the bad time wouldn't have come upon us. And that's sometimes the truth with finances. You know, you think, well, somebody that's having a financial struggle is because they don't make any money. That's not necessarily true. It doesn't matter if you make $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year, you can have financial struggle. It's not how much you make, it's what you do with how much you make and the circumstances surrounding it. Now, I'm going to talk to you. I'm not really supposed to be up here throwing a fit and getting all wound up and everything. So you'll have to say amen without me pulling it out of you. Amen, Tyler? Okay, all right. Now, but I'm going to teach you some very practical things if I could. The sermon is called A Good Name Over Riches. First of all, many money problems are more character problems than they are money problems. And I don't say that to offend you, but let me say it again. Many money problems are actually character problems. Now, not all. Sometimes emergencies, things come upon us. They create a financial dilemma, and we didn't have any control over it. But I will tell you this. Most of the time, we could have helped ourselves a whole lot more, and we let ourselves down, so we end up in a financial mess. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, we just don't control ourselves. We don't control our spending. We do with our money what we want instead of what we should. You see the word want and should. And if you do what you want instead of what you should, then you're misusing what God gave you. And today's prosperity may turn into tomorrow's poverty because you just didn't use what he gave you right. Sometimes we don't work hard on our finances. There's a lack of aggression. And sometimes you need to be assertive with yourself. With yourself. Sometimes we're not honest with ourselves financially. Look, folks, don't procrastinate paying your bills. Could I recommend something? If a bill comes in and you have the money to pay it, one of the best things in the world to do is to pay it. You say, why? Because if the money hangs around, you're liable to spend it on something else. Mrs. Owens would tell you, when a bill comes in at our mailbox, we almost take it straight to the checkbook. Write the check. You say, why? It's not because I'm a good Christian. It's because I'm scared to death that if I don't pay it, the money won't be there in 2 days. Because I'm liable to go do the knucklehead thing and buy something I want instead of doing what I need to do. Sometimes we do not require ourselves to do the hard thing. Look, if you are requiring yourself to do the right thing financially and you still have a financial dilemma, I promise you God's going to help you out of that far. He's going to help you out of that far quicker. But if you're not doing the right thing, and then you say, oh, God, bail me out, he liable to say, I have a couple times. Every time I give it to you, you spend it on something else. And God can't write the checks for you. Okay, so my first thought is, many money problems are actually character problems. Secondly, I want to encourage you, and I'm not going to give you a million scriptures, but I could read scripture to you all night. Look, folks, be faithful to God financially. You might think, well, Pastor, are you teaching this because the church needs money? No. Oh, we're paying our bills. We have enough money around here. I do not teach on finances to get something out of you. I teach on finances to hopefully put something in you. I want to help you. Folks, you know the Bible teaches the tithe in the book of Malachi and elsewhere, all throughout the Bible. But the Bible says don't rob God. Now listen, I have to tell you this, and you need to hear it. God is not obligated to bless those financially who rob him. He's not obligated. Remember, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I would recommend that when you're going through a tough time, you don't steal from the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he also owns the hills. Look, you can't afford to take from the one who does all the giving. The one person you want to stay in good with is the one that gives you everything you have. So I'm not being trying to be rude or crude. Be faithful to God financially. So I said, first of all, many money problems are actually character problems. Secondly, we must be faithful to God. Don't take from the great giver. Because if you want to receive, the Bible teaches you need to give. It's just a biblical concept. Thirdly, learn the difference between wants and needs. Learn it quickly. Force it upon yourself. Oh, parents, teach your children the difference between wants and needs. You need clothing. You don't need designer clothing. You say, is designer clothing bad, preacher? No. Look, if you're paying all your bills on time and you have plenty of money and you've got a good financial reputation, you can buy whatever, you know, fancy clothes you want. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you can't pay your bills and you're not doing right financially, but you go out and you buy expensive clothing, all God promised you, God said this, having food and raiment, being therewith content. That's enough food to be alive, which could rule out a freezer full, and raiment. It didn't say a whole closet full where you're worried about the anchors in the drywall letting go. Food and raiment, being therewith content. The word content there, it's a word, the Greek word is contento. It means you can hold it together if you have enough food to be alive and enough clothes not to be naked. And the naked part is, first of all, for modesty's sake. Secondly, it is for health's sake. Understand the difference between wants and needs. Now, again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. And I know there are different financial levels all the way through here. But I will promise you, everybody, under the sound of my voice, everybody has more clothing than they need. More shoes. And even some of the poorer people that would come to our church, in most cases, we have more food than we need. May not be everything you always wanted. You might be eating hot dogs. It might not be, you know, a big prime rib steak. But you understand, God could provide enough food for you to make it through today. And then tomorrow, you may need to get up in the morning and see if you could find a little piece of bread on the ground or a quail flying through the air so you could have enough food for tomorrow. You say, well, nobody's going to live like that. Well, yeah, they sure did. You say, well, what kind of God would do that? The God of the universe wants you to have food and raiment and therewith being content, and that's not massive amounts. Now, boy, if you got a lot of food, I'm glad for you. And if you have a lot of clothing, I'm glad for you. And you say, well, I've already purchased it. There's nothing I can do about what I already have. Okay, but just remember in the future, if things aren't going well financially, you shouldn't be spending money outrageously on clothes. You need clothes, but not designer. You need shelter, but not a mansion. And I know, again, we have people that live in government housing, and we've got people live in $500,000, $600,000 homes in our church. And I'm not against any of that, but I do want you all to know the people in our city that live in the worst conditions live better than some people in other countries in best conditions. Okay, so shelter can be seen in a lot of different ways. You don't have to have a five-bedroom shelter, two baths with a five-car garage. And I'm not telling you that's wrong, but I am telling you this. You got to learn the difference between wants and needs. It helps with the finances. You need food, but you don't have to have steak and caviar. You need a coat, but you don't need one made out of mink or fox. You need a car, but you don't need four of them, and one of them doesn't have to be a Bentley. You say, preacher, I just want to live the American dream. It may become a nightmare if you're not careful. It may become a nightmare. I want everybody to succeed. I want you to work hard. And the truth is, I'd like for you to make all the money that you possibly can and stay in church and stay white with God and keep your family together. I want all that for you. But in America, we get pretty caught up in the American dream. Can I give you one better than the American dream? How about the Christian dream? You say, well, preacher, what's a Christian dream? Being right with God. As a matter of fact, the Christian dream is mentioned here. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, I said this. I said, many of our money problems are actually character problems. We're to be faithful to God. Learn the difference between wants and needs. Next, I'll recommend something to you, and I'm only going to touch on it and leave it. But if you want to help your finances, one of the best things you could do is get them organized and keep them organized. Some of you, really, if you want to help yourself, you need to sit down and you need to write out some things. You need to figure out how much money you're earning. You need to figure out how much of it you're bringing home, and you need to figure out your income and your outgo, and then you need to compare the two. One of them's going to be higher than the other. Right? I know your pastor's not a genius, but income, outgo, one higher than the other. Do you know which one's supposed to be higher than the other? Okay. I would recommend to you that you know your due dates. I think you ought to know your interest rates. No, I'm not talking about pregnancy now. Listen, you need to know those due dates. I think you need to know your interest rates. I was counseling someone just recently. They bought a home many years back. And they had about a 7% interest rate on the mortgage of their home. And I said, I need you to understand, we could save you thousands of dollars with a modification on that loan because you can get a loan at 4% right now. Well, I don't keep up with that sort of thing, Pastor. I said, and you're also not keeping up with paying your bills. I said, with this one move, this one interest rate change, I can help your finances on a monthly basis. You're suddenly going to break even, or the income will be higher than the outgo. But you need to know about those interest rates. Don't ignore things. Can I tell you what happens to people that if you don't have money, so you don't know how to pay the bill, and the bills come in? So you can get to the point where you won't even open the envelope anymore. And you just start piles. Go ahead and keep things organized. Because if God wants to bail you out, and God said to you, well, how much you need? You say, I don't know. Go check the envelope yourself. I'm not opening it. And I think you want to, the Bible teaches this, that we are to be aware of the state of our flocks. You say, what does that mean? It was a term used for a farmer, and a farmer needs to know how many sheep he has. Because those sheep are what he uses to trade, and it's how he gets money in and how he lets money out. And you need to know how many sheep you have. Folks, you need to know what's coming in. You need to know what's going out. You said, but Pastor, I don't have enough to pay everything that needs to go out. But stay aware of where you're at. So, again, most money problems are character problems. Be faithful to God. Learn the difference between wants and needs. Get yourself organized. Now, the next isn't obvious, but I need to say it. Don't spend more than you make. Don't spend more than you make. Now, you have to know how much you're spending to accomplish that, and you have to know how much you're making to accomplish that. You need to know your net income, what's coming in. Now, You say, well, Pastor, how does someone figure out how much they're spending? Well, I can tell you a way. Maybe you just need to write down everything you spend. Write it down. You say, boy, that sounds like a drag. Yeah, but it wouldn't take you long to figure out what you're spending it on and why. Mrs. Owens and I, when we're working on taking a few extra pounds off, there's something that she is very good at. She said, I force myself to write down everything I eat, everything. And I look at it, and I make myself look at it. And I don't eat a bunch of things without writing it down. What's she doing? She's trying to look at what's coming in, and that way she can monitor it. Now, the sermon's not difficult. You have got to spend. You got to spend less than you're making. In a moment, I'm going to tell you what are we going to do about a financial dilemma. It's going to have something to do with the income and the outgo. Let me go on. Number six. This is just an observation. Shopping from home could be dangerous for you. It could be. And I'm talking about internet shopping. I think internet shopping could be dangerous for some because it's too convenient. It's way too convenient for people without self-control. Now, I don't think it's bad for everybody. I think if you have good self-control, I think shopping from home can save you a lot of money. Because you don't have to spend money on gasoline. You don't have to spend your time. And the way it's going right now, you know, with all the people that do the shipping and the way they handle it, and there's a pretty heavy market for all of this out there. It could be very, very good. But I will promise you this. If you don't show self-control and you do a lot of shopping at home, you do understand all the shopping you could do on the internet at home. You can do it at midnight. You can do it at 1 in the morning, at 2 in the morning. You can do it when you're sick. You can do it when you're not when you're well. I gotta tell you this. My pastor and my mentor traveled the country. And he, a busy, busy, busy man. He had 660 employees at his church alone. But I remember he had come back from a preaching trip, and he said, I drank a bunch of coffee and I could not get to sleep one night. And I turned on the television, and they had this thing called the Home Shopping Network. He said, and you wouldn't believe the stuff they had. He said, I couldn't sleep and I couldn't sleep. And boy, can they really advertise on there. I mean, they told me how much it would have been, but if I buy now, if I'm the first caller, you have to understand he's a brilliant man, but this is kind of new to him. He said, I am so embarrassed. We have been having packages delivered to our home now for weeks. For weeks. And he said, my wife Beverly said, and Jack, you thought I was the crazy shopper. She said, I forbid you to shop on the Home Shopping Network. He said, but man, I was doing good. He said, I didn't have to fight the parking lot. I didn't have to fight the lines. He said, and it was obvious I was saving money hand over fist. And I got some good stuff. Listen, when shopping's easy, if we're weak in our self-control, we could hurt ourselves. I'm not against it. I'm against not controlling it. Then, number seven. During the good times financially, be wise because the bad times could come again. Haven't all of us had some extra and we squandered it? And then the hardship came. And we all look back and say, oh, what were we thinking? Wouldn't it have been good if we put a few extra bucks aside? Shouldn't we have saved? The Bible, and I could take you to scripture after scripture after scripture, the Bible talks about the ant. The ant gathers in the summer because there comes a moment when the temperature and the weather's bad and the ant can't gather. So they gather. He gathers for, if you will, the rainy day. Save money for a rainy day. Plan for... I'm not trying to be negative, but you will have a setback somewhere along the way. Look, if you've got four good tires on your car today, you understand they do have a limited warranty. And usually they go bad a day after the warranty runs out. I often wondered if the aliens are in charge of warranties. You know, like they're up there in the sky and they're just watching for that day to come. And the day later you look and you say, oh, my warranty ran out yesterday. And so my washer goes, and I think there's an alien with a button up there flipping the button. Listen, you say, well, preacher, we just don't need anything right now. You will. You will. Businessmen, things may be hot and successful today, but slumps always come. They always come. Slumps don't have to destroy businesses if businessmen in the good times prepare for the slump that's going to come sooner or later. Those that last long term in business, they're not like a surfer that's riding the wave high. They keep in mind you will go down at some point. You might want to save a little bit to help at the low spot. Everything goes through waves of up and down. Everything does. So remember that. Financially, I got to hurry. Next, don't allow your next raise in income to be a part of your spending. I'm going to teach you something very quickly. I said, don't allow your next raise in income to be a part of your spending. Save it. If you could keep living at your current income level, and when a raise comes in, you just keep living at your current income level, then you take the raise and you put it away. You save it. So you make $15 an hour. Learn how to live off of $15 an hour. And if you get a raise to $16 an hour, you're going to take the entire amount of the raise and you're going to put it away. Here's what happens to us always. Our spending expands to our income. I watched it happen over and over and over again. Someone that said, I was barely making when I made $15 an hour. Oh, if I could get a raise. And they got a raise. And they're making $16 an hour. It's not long they say to me, if I could only get a raise, I could make it at $17 an hour. Well, that's what you said at 16. And that's what you said at 15. You say, but what about inflation? Oh, sure, there's some inflation out there. But let me tell you, many times this is not an inflation issue. It goes back to a character issue. Learn to live off your earned current income and let any raise become savings. Let those raises help you to pay things off early. I've got to hurry. Next, there are two basic ways to fix financial problems. I'm going to tell you this. You can look to every financial guru that's ever existed. You can go to seminars and read books and buy self-help packages and read Money Magazine and Forbes Magazine and Kiplinger's, and you can study it all. Well, let me simplify it for you. The way to fix problems financially is this. You either have to increase your income or you have to decrease your outgo or both. Now, if you paid $150 for that package from that guy on the internet to help you through your financial dilemma, send it back, get your money back, and either increase your income or decrease your outgo or do both, because I don't care what he says or how many charts he gives you. That's the only way to solve the problem. The problem's not, it may be an uphill challenge, but it's really that simple of a solution. I would usually recommend where you start is you start with decreasing your outgo. We call it cutting the fat. You know, our politicians all fight and fuss about it. The entitlements and everything in the big budget. If we just cut out the stupid stuff. If our government would listen to this sermon and know the difference between wants and needs, we could fix it. I wish I could tell you all the waste in government. Wow. It's just, if anybody's ever used the term highway robbery, it's a mega highway robbery what they do. Now, so if you are going to either increase your income or decrease your outgo or do both, you can start with decreasing the outgo, trim the fat, and then at some point you might have to figure out a way to make a little more money. I want to recommend something to you, whether you'll listen to me or not. I want to go out and get a job that takes you out of church. That'd be kind of silly, because if this sermon prompts you to get your finances straightened out, and then you go out and you fall out of church, who's going to help you next time? You'll just live in the pigsty that you've created for yourself. And remember what the Bible said. This whole teaching, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. God doesn't want you to get so caught up in finances that you lose God somewhere along the way. I got a couple points and I'm finished, and I promise. Lastly, every Christian needs to learn not to abuse payment grace periods. Payment grace periods. Let's pay our bills on time, or let's pay our bills early. See, if a bill's due on the first, did you know that it's late on the second? You say, but Pastor, they told me I had 10 days. I would recommend you stop living like that. If it's due on the first, it's due on the first. You say, well, I'm not sure I can do that. Okay, if you don't get it done this time, you need to get it done next time. You just need to get it to the point where you're paying on time. That's what you're supposed to do. You say, well, I get paid on the first. Maybe you ought to ask for a due date of the second then. But you need to be on time. And folks, again, I'm not trying to be offensive, and I'm trying to stay calm. I could throw a fit about this and maybe keep your attention a little better. But folks, grace periods are for rare emergencies. They're not for routine behavior. They gave the grace period because they were trying to say to you, if you have an emergency, we're going to be sensible. We'll give you a little extra time. They didn't set the grace period up so that you could determine you would pay 10 days late every time. That wasn't the plan. And is it only 10 days that you need to catch up? You know what, I'll bet I could give you the money to pay it on time this month, and in 2 months you'll be right back to using the grace period again, because I don't think it's the amount of money. I think it's the amount of character behind the money. And so, you know, I've experimented with that very thing. I've helped people to get on track. Oh, how hard I try to help them get on track, they're right back off a track. Because it has something to do with your approach to finances. Okay, one last point. I'm done, and we'll go home eventually. Finally, young married couples, let me advise you. Learn to be financial scrappers. Y'all know what scrapping is? That's getting in there and just making it happen and staying right on top of it. Young married couples, I would recommend you not try to live a luxurious life. Learn to make do. Listen, when there's just the two of you, life changes. Sometimes you go from two of you to three of you and gets a little more difficult. And then from three of you to four of you, and from four of you to five of you, from five of you down to four of you, because the dad will probably have a heart attack at that moment. But listen, I watch so many young couples, they want everything that mom and dad has, but it took mom and dad 30 and 40 and 50 years to get it. This almost makes me angry. They say, the millennials say, well, we don't see it the way the old generation sees it. We're the millennials. Oh, has the media ever screwed this generation up? No matter what generation in which you were born, you're still supposed to pay your bills on time. And if you don't make enough, you shouldn't be spending more than you make. And the millennials' attitude, everybody's supposed to have a Bible attitude. And you may not. Hey, and young married couples, let me tell you something. Look, if you get everything that it took mom and dad 40 years to have, well, what's going to thrill you 40 years from now? I mean, if you have it all, I'll tell you what, that will happen to you. You just need to change mates. Because about the only thing that you've not had is another man or another woman. That's because of the dissatisfaction that you've created in your own life. So, look, young married couples, you say, well, our furniture is used. Well, I can tell you something about used furniture. It's a whole lot easier to deal with the 3-year-old spilled strawberry Kool-Aid on used furniture than the brand new plush furniture. kids are going to jump on your stuff, cram French fries where they don't belong, squirt ketchup, go to the bathroom. The dog's going to chew on everything that you have. Use the old junk until the kids are gone. By the way, it'll help you financially too. As our children were growing up and leaving home, we were able to get some nicer things. And I hope in years to come we'll even be able to upgrade. Most of all, everything that we have is still used. We have a few new items. But as we are buying the new items, we have enough money to do it. And so, I'm finished. But if you listen to the verse, this is what it said. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The fixing of one's finances has a lot to do with attitude and then self-control. Again, I don't think everybody that's in financial dilemma are there because of character issues. Emergencies come upon us. Now, your life is not a perpetual emergency, though, just so you know. Nobody lives a perpetual emergency. At some point, you got to make sure you get it under control. If you've listened tonight, I've tried to help you with your life. Do you know how you get money? You give people your life, and they give you some money in exchange. How you spend your money is how you're spending your life. Some of you are wasteful with your life. Let's pray. Father, take the sermon of tonight. Get glory to thyself, please. I've tried to lovingly and tenderly help some people that I care about. I pray that we'd all learn from it and be challenged by it. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who here tonight would say, Preacher, I've listened to what you said. I picked up some pointers that are going to help me. God has spoken to me. God will see some changes in the way I do some things financially because I've learned the practicality of some financial instruction tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure, all of us can use a little help here and there. You may put your hands down. If you're not saved and you need salvation, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, some of you, maybe you're facing a dilemma and it came upon you. It's not something that you did. Well, maybe you need to come down here and get on your knees. I will promise you, if something's come upon you and you didn't cause it, you get to God. God will figure that out. I have to tell you, God will bless you if you created the mess, but it might be a little slower coming. You might need to be a little humble. You might need to say, okay, God, I goofed up. I'm asking for your help. Get me through this. If you need the altar, you'll be welcome to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, please come. Maybe come and pray. Ask God for a little help, a little guidance. Hey, it's not. Sometimes we say, well, if I had a whole bunch of money, I would not have this financial dilemma. I have to tell you something. People with all sorts of money get themselves into financial dilemma. I know people with very little money who are making it. They're not behind. They're not behind the eight ball financially. It's not how much you have. It's how you handle what you do have. I am not ruling out those unique, what we'll call catastrophes that come our way. And about everybody's going to face one of those somewhere along the way, I promise you. Boy, you can get hit just suddenly. You didn't see it coming. You really didn't have anything to do with it. God will get you through that. But just don't create a mess perpetually for yourself. If you need the altar, you come. Young people, maybe tonight's sermon might not have been real interesting to you, but you got a whole lot of what's just old-fashioned common sense given you tonight. If you young people will listen to what was said, boy, you will work some stress out of your future in your adulthood. Hey, and let me tell you this. This isn't only good for individuals, marriages, and families. It's pretty good for businesses. Be honest, it's very good for churches, and I'm not trying to eliminate faith, but I am saying God also gives you a brain, and He asks you to use it and to think through what you're doing. This is the last time through the song. It won't be long. We're going to be on our way. Thank you, Sarah.